This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan McLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm on an internet call to Cape Town now with Stephen Young, Chief Product Officer at a new African cryptocurrency exchange called CoinDirect. Stephen, welcome to the podcast. Please tell us a bit about the background to CoinDirect. Who's involved? What's the idea behind it? And how is it different to some of the other crypto exchanges we see in South Africa today?
Sure. Hi, Duncan. Thanks for having me on. So CoinDirect is a new cryptocurrency exchange. We launched in November last year. And really what we're trying to do is build a one-stop solution for people who are interested in crypto. So what makes us a little bit different from the other exchanges we're seeing in South Africa is that we've got both a wallet similar to what Luno has, and a full exchange offering, as well as a peer-to-peer market. And the peer-to-peer market allows us to open up territories in Africa that aren't easily accessible for our competitors because it's hard to get banking relationships in those places. So you can think of it as a combination of a wallet, a peer-to-peer exchange, local bitcoins, and then also a full exchange.
So just walk me through exactly what a peer-to-peer market is and how it works.
So essentially you can think of it as a Gumtree for crypto. So what that allows you to do is, as a holder of crypto, you can set up a sell offer on our platform saying, I'm willing to sell X amount of Bitcoin at this rate. And then people from your country or anywhere in the world that has supporting payment methods can then buy that crypto from you, and then what we will do is hold the crypto in escrow until you've marked that the payment has gone through. So what's different there is that the payments happen directly between buyer and seller. It doesn't go through us. All we provide is the escrow services and the marketplace so that people can connect to each other.
I see. So why would someone, say, in another African territory use that as opposed to connecting directly with your exchange?
Sure, no problem. So one of the big problems with providing good banking support in Africa and crypto especially is it's difficult to get banking relationships in those territories. So it's very hard for a crypto exchange still to get a good banking partner in, say, Kenya or Nigeria, which means people just don't have options to buy crypto in their local currency. Whereas if you're selling peer-to-peer, the money is going directly from your bank account into the seller's bank account, which means we don't have to set up banking relationships there. So you'll see things like local bitcoins doing very well in like developing markets where that's still difficult. It also means that people can do payments via things like M-Pesa or airtime transfers, because we support those in those territories. So it just gives people more options, and then, you know, over time, as the markets grow, we'll keep working on banking support in those territories, so you can buy directly with bank deposits. But in the meantime, you know, it gives people an opportunity to get into crypto they wouldn't have one otherwise.
I see. And so the platform is aimed specifically at emerging markets in Africa, are you aimed at developing markets around the world?
I think developing markets in general, but we're starting with Africa. You know, if you think about this, the promise of crypto, we people talk about the fourth industrial revolution and like the biggest wealth transfer in history. At the moment, that wealth transfer is happening from bankers to programmers in first and second world countries. You know, it's not really people in Africa and developing markets don't have as much access, even though they've got the most to gain if crypto delivers on its promise.
Right. Okay. So why now? Why launch this platform at this point in time?
Yeah, so obviously there's quite a crowded exchange market at the moment. Lots of exchanges coming, I think over 500.
Wow.
But The problem is nobody's really taking Africa seriously. So, you know, even if they're an African exchange, like the next territories they always try to open is either the East or Europe. Mm-hmm. And really, we kind of think it's our responsibility as Africans to make sure that the rest of Africa has an opportunity to be part of this new movement. So it's that, and then also, again, like we're really targeting on local currency, local fiat pairs, and ways for people to get cash into the crypto economy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're working with you're taking direct deposits from banks in some markets. I presume South Africa is one of those markets. Are you doing that in any other market in Africa at this point in time?
Not in Africa yet. We do have some banking partnerships in Europe set up, so that should go live in the next little while. But we are also working on direct banking support in territories like Nigeria and Kenya. But, you know, those things take quite a long time. There's quite a lot of due diligence that the banks need to do to make sure that we're above board and regulated, and also the legislation in a lot of those territories is still kind of vague or a little bit hostile. So mm-hmm. we kind of need to take those as they come.
So what can investors do on this platform? What cryptos can they trade? Is it quite wide open, or is it fairly limited in terms of the number of coins available?
So if you look at the exchange, we've got 15 pairs, including 6 ZAR pairs. So you can go directly from RANDs into Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, and Tether. And then we also have 6 USDT pairs, so that's Tether pairs. And you know what the Tether is?
No, please explain.
Okay, sure. So Tether is a cryptocurrency that is tethered one-to-one to the US dollar. What people do in the crypto markets, often when there's a lot of volatility, they move their currency into USDT. Because that allows them to ride out the ups and downs quite a bit without completely leaving the crypto ecosystem. So that's quite useful for traders to be able to hedge against market volatility. And for Tether, we've also got Ripple, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ether, Bitcoin, and South African Rand pairs.
All right.
And then if you look at the wallets, we support quite a few more coins. There we support over 40, and including things like Monero, NEM, VeChain, Qtum, Omisego, Verge, Theme. There's quite a selection on that.
Okay. Do you allow people to select portfolios of different types of coins, or do people trade directly in specific cryptocurrencies?
At the moment, people trade directly. We are looking at doing some portfolio-type products. But we need to just speak to our customers and really understand what their needs are before we go and just do a one-size-fits-all solution.
And where's the demand? I presume Bitcoin is the biggest traded on your platform?
Yeah, Bitcoin's the biggest. There's quite a lot of Ripple and Ethereum. But Bitcoin by far the biggest, especially for the first-time purchases. Mm-hmm. You know, most people buy Bitcoin first, and then later on they'll take their Bitcoin and convert it to something else, and then convert it back again.
Right.
Bitcoin is kind of the entryway for most people.
Yeah. But are there other coins that, I mean, you must see some interesting trends emerging on your platforms. Are there other coins that people are starting to show a great deal of interest in recent times?
So what you typically see in these crypto markets are that the like what are called altcoins, so anything besides Bitcoin, they tend to so Bitcoin will normally move first. So so after we've had this downturn, you know, everything kind of tracks Bitcoin down, and then once we see a turnaround in the market, normally Bitcoin moves first. And then you see a lot of money flowing out of the altcoins into Bitcoin because people want to kind of ride the wave up. But then as soon as people have started making a little bit of profits in Bitcoin, they now want to diversify out into other tokens. Mm-hmm. So then what you'll see is Bitcoin kind of slowing down slightly, and you see the altcoins overtaking it. And then as soon as the market turns, Bitcoin falls a little bit slower, and the other coins drop off. And then, you know, the other things... Unfortunately, a lot of the market movement at the moment is based purely on hype. So, you know, good news comes out for certain projects and you'll see the price spike, and you see bad news come out and it'll tank again. Even though the fundamentals on those tokens haven't really changed.
Right, right.
But I guess that's like any market, you know, the news makes a bigger impact than the actual fundamentals often.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me, Stephen, a bit about the team behind CoinDirect. Who are you guys? How did you meet? And how did this project get started?
Sure. So CoinDirect was founded by Balfour Investments late in 2017. The founders are Jesse Hampson Struthers, Donald Jackson, and myself. So Jesse has got quite a track record in the online space in South Africa. He's Balfour Investments has 14 fast-growing companies in the group at the moment. And really, it started with Donald and Jesse doing some small OTC trades on over-the-counter trades on local Bitcoins, and realizing how much, you know, how difficult it is. You do your trades on a local Bitcoins, and then you have to go to like another exchange to buy and sell. So it just became very complicated. So we saw a gap to do a one, like a one-stop shop that kind of combines all three of those capabilities. And then we launched late in 2017. And you know, I've been interested in crypto for a long time, and Jesse asked me to come join to help develop out the product. So it's self-funded. We haven't taken any external investments yet. And, you know, we're kind of growing every month. We're seeing we've got about 25,000 customers.
Wow.
Yep. So, yeah, it's growing. And we're live in 24 territories. So that's now Africa, Europe, Middle East. In Africa, we're live in Ghana, South Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, and Namibia. And there were also some in India, South Korea, Thailand, Australia. So quite a few territories that we live in. But really, like I said, our focus is South Africa and Africa in the short to medium term.
All right. So what does the platform look like? Do I trade via your website? Do you have apps for mobile? What's the...
So at the moment, we've got both a desktop website and mobile website. The mobile apps are coming soon in the next couple of months. And yeah, so, and then the product is divided into the exchange, the wallet, and the peer-to-peer. So the main website is coindirect.com, and if you do want to go directly to the exchange, it's exchange.coindirect.com.
I see. Okay. So we touched on this a little bit earlier, Stephen, but maybe take us through what the regulatory landscape looks like in South Africa and Africa more broadly to launch this sort of exchange. And what sort of protections can you offer investors in the event, for example, of a hacking incident?
Yeah. So the regulation in South Africa is actually pretty up-to-date and forward-looking. So the South African Reserve Bank has been looking at cryptocurrencies for a while. They're quite knowledgeable. They are relatively permissive. You know, so what you're seeing is a little bit of regulatory arbitrage in the markets at the moment. So, you know, so the big economies are really being extremely cautious. So the SEC in the US, and then in places like the UK and Europe, it's a little bit more difficult. But then what you see is quite a few up and coming countries that are trying to kind of shake up the status quo, doing very permissive regulation. And there would be places like Malta, Switzerland is really trying to establish itself as a go-to territory for cryptocurrency, as well as Estonia. So I think that's probably what you're going to see over the next while, is you're going to have some countries holding back, especially the bigger economies, and then some countries, you know, really trying to kind of establish a beachhead as a permissive territory. We are regulated under the Isle of Man cryptocurrency regulations, so all of that information is available on our website. In terms of hacking, we've you know, so we obviously have extremely tight security controls. We get audited independently to make sure that those things are all above board.
Who does that sort of audit?
So essentially, what you do is you hire a penetration testing company and you give them access to your infrastructure, and then they try to see if they can hack it.
I see.
So, and you need to kind of do that regularly, because you know security is only you're only as good as your last change, right? So if they try to do a penetration test last month and you were fine, and then you've done some code changes in the meantime, you know, you might have introduced a bug. Mm-hmm. So you need to constantly be checking those things.
Right. But in terms of how your customers can store their crypto assets, do you offer hard wallets? Can people store this information off exchange? Just walk us through that.
Sure. So if you've got your wallet on our wallet, that's what's called a hot wallet, which means...
Yep.
It's online. You know, you're trusting us to take care of your cryptocurrency. The majority of our funds are held in cold storage. So you know, any funds that aren't moving often, we keep in cold storage. So completely disconnected from the internet.
So you do that. You do that automatically, do you?
Yes, that's okay. Right. Then obviously we need to maintain a float to make sure that we can handle the exchanges, the transactions during any given period. But as much as possible, we keep the funds completely offline. You can also transfer your funds for any of these pairs that we have on the exchange. Those 15 pairs, all of them offer direct deposit and withdrawal. So you can at any point transfer your money out into your own hardware wallet if you choose to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just like there's the risks involved with you know, essentially having a what's equivalent to a gold bar lying under your bed if you've got a hardware wallet. So you know, I think people need to also make sure that yes, you kind of get rid of the exchange risk, but if you then don't have your own security procedures in place, you're opening yourself up to all other set of risks.
Right.
So it is still, you know, I think that's at the moment one of the biggest problems in the cryptocurrency space. It's quite a big responsibility to make sure all these things are secure. You know, I'm very technically savvy, and like even for me, it's like a little bit of a pain sometimes. I can't imagine my mom doing this. So I think we've got a long way to go when it comes to user experience in the crypto space, but it's getting better all the time. So
All right. So what do CoinDirect's fees look like, and what is the broader revenue model around the business?
So our fees are, so we have different fees depending on the type of transaction you do. So if you do a crypto to crypto trade, so you say go from Bitcoin to Ethereum, on our wallet, it's 0.25% fee. And if you do a fiat to crypto trades, so that is South African rand into Bitcoin or Ethereum, is a 0.75% fee, because obviously we incur more costs with the banks in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
When you're working on the exchange, if you're a maker, so if you're the person who is offering the transaction, then you pay 0% fees. So that's pretty attractive. And as a launch bonus for the also for the exchange, takers only pay 0.1% fees for crypto trades, and 0.4% fees for crypto to fiat trades, which is a 50% discount, and that runs until the end of October.
Okay. And are there any annual fees as well?
Nope, nothing.
No, only so if you, transaction if you, fees.
Yep, if you're not transacting, you're not paying anything. So, yeah.
Okay, all right. So before I let you go, Stephen, whenever I'm talking to anyone about Bitcoin or crypto money, I ask or have to ask, is it really the right time to be getting into crypto? Bitcoin has been fluctuating wildly in recent weeks, and some technical analysts are saying it could test the $4,000 level in the coming weeks from about $6,500 now. Should prospective investors be sitting on the sidelines for now, or should they be getting in your view?
So, look, it depends on your, you know, it's like any investment. It depends on your situation, and it also depends on your time horizon. So, you know, if you wanted to go into crypto and pull something out in 6 months, I mean, I would. That's super risky because you really don't know. It's like you said, it's up and down. The kinds of swings you see in crypto compared to traditional asset classes is just, you know, insane. So I think it depends on your time frame. So for myself, I try not to look too much at the short term ups and downs. The reason I got into crypto is because, you know, it's solving a fundamentally new problem. It's called the Byzantine Generals problem, and it's a well-known computer science problem that hasn't really had a practical solution available until the blockchain came around. Mm-hmm. So this is actually a really new innovation in computer science, and the things that it's got the potential to do is why I've invested in it. But those things are 5 to 10 years off. So I would say, you know, if you're taking a 5 to 10 year view, I think prices are cheap right now.
Yeah.
Is it the cheapest you're going to get over the next year? Maybe not. But is it kind of near the bottom? I would think so. But again, this is all compared to 5 years from now, which when I see it, Bitcoin being worth much, much more than it is right now. So it all depends. You know, if you're a professional trader and you know what you're doing, you can try to use technical analysis to time the markets and make some money on the volatility. You know, one of the things, just the caution with technical analysis is it's all very useful and it does help with price action. But at the moment, crypto is so sensitive to news. So, you know, if the SEC comes out and, you know, has a very kind of draconian policy coming out, it's going to move the prices much more than the technical analysis is going to tell you about. So, you know, it's very difficult to predict in the short term, but long term, I think it's going to be, you know, a proper first class citizen in the in global financial industry.
So I think in the jargon of the industry, you are a hodler.
That's right. Yes. I don't think my nerves are strong enough to handle the day trading. I did it for a little while and it just kind of takes over your life. And I was stressed all the time. So, I decided to, you know, it's like I do deep research on the tokens that I buy. I buy projects that I think have a long-term chance of success.
Yeah.
And I try to take more of a kind of venture capital mindset when it comes to these investments. Really make sure that I understand the project, make sure I understand the team, you know, evaluate, you know, on a regular basis if my thesis has changed, but kind of buy and hold for the longer term.
So which coins are you invested in, or which coins are you particularly excited about?
So for me, it's probably interesting to look at it more as a, like, categories. So I think the money coins, so Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, those ones are really interesting. I think Bitcoin's got a very, very strong lead and quite a moat around it. It's very, very likely that Bitcoin's going to be the winning coin in that space. But you never know. You know, this is technology. It's, you know, things happen very quickly. Nobody thought that MySpace was going to go anywhere, and then a few years later, they were completely gone. So Bitcoin for me, and the money coins, and then also the privacy coins. So Zcash, Monero, those ones I think will have a use case. You know, some of it for illicit activity, but some of it really for people who are trying to operate in territories where their government is just, you know, doesn't have their best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. And then I think the platform tokens like Ethereum, EOS, etc. are also really interesting. You know, I think the application tokens are a little bit further away. I think we're still in the kind of infrastructure development phase of cryptocurrencies. So for my personal holdings is 70% Bitcoin, 20% Ethereum, and then 10% kind of spread across new projects that I think might have a chance, but they're much, much more risky. Mm.
Okay. Well, great, Stephen. This has been a fantastic discussion. Stephen Young is Chief Product Officer at CoinDirect. That website, again, is coindirect.com. Thank you so much for talking to Tech Central today.
Thanks for having me, Duncan.